think you don't. Now, you're going to go on a very fast train journey. We're going to quickly talk a little bit about the history of rail and go there. Now, everybody's heard about break of gauges, the different gauges in every state. We've still got them. Okay? They're all there. Let's have a look at that slide. The biggest issue, though, that we actually have got is the different communication networks across each state, 22 of them. The Indian Pacific, leading Sydney to Perth, carries 345 kilograms of radio equipment, 8 different radio sets as it goes to Australia. But we're doing something about that, and ARTC and others have got a major project. We're going to digitalise the railway network, and you'll see massive changes very quickly. But we still have those problems. Just look at that map. The different colours show the different gauges. Some states, South Australia, manages to have 3 within the same state. We're a massive industry, and I don't think we've realised how big we are. I represent not only the track owners, the operators, the public passenger transport operators, also the rail manufacturers. And the rail manufacturing in Australia is 3/4 the size of the car industry. It's a big industry, and it is a sizable thing. And it's got a massive investment program. $30 billion is being invested in rail at the current time. We're all these locomotives. I've got Jeff Smith's brand new SCT one up there because he's one of my members. In fact, they're all built in Australia. Okay. All those locomotives, all the freight locomotives are built in Australia. Who owns the track? Mainly the state governments own the track. Some don't. Westnet Rail is Western Australia. It's owned by Babcock and Brown Infrastructure. And Asia Pacific Rail is Adelaide to Darwin. The freight operators, there are 2 Class 1 massive operators across the whole nation of Australia. That's Pacific National, owned by Asciano, and Queensland Rail, followed by SCT and the others. Freightlink Adelaide to Darwin, Genesis and Wyoming operates in South Australia, Southern Short Haul Rail, Silverton Combination Coote Rail, Western Australia operator, Independent Rail Australia, 2, if you pick the numbers, IRA, there's 2 Hegarty brothers, a good Irishman owned that and it's based in Sydney, Chicago Freight, a major leasing company, and El Zorro, based here in Victoria. We also have special operators as well, the BHP and the Pilbara Irons. People talk all negatively about the state of rail in Australia, but people from all around the world come to look at these operations. They are the best railway operations anywhere in the world. They've got the heaviest axle loads, just moving to 40-ton axle loads, where the top in the US is currently 32, the longest trains in the world, the heaviest and the smoothest operation. If you ever want to look at brilliant rail, go and have a look at the way we export iron ore. Just look at the big picture here, and you'll see the things that rail does incredibly well. Coal, iron ore, bulk. They're the things we do well. The grain, the reflection of that grain, there has been no grain crop nationally for about 7 years, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. The one is the non-bulk that everybody focuses on now. That's the containers, backwards and forwards. And the growth over that year was not growth nationally between the capitals, it was intrastate growth. Very small percentage of our task, but a critical one. This map will tell you the success. It's been Adelaide to Darwin, great success. Melbourne to Perth, incredibly successful. But the real cot case is down the East Coast corridor. Yeah? 7%, you've heard that figure before. That figure's going backwards, not forwards. There's a massive investment happening currently on the North-South corridor. The federal government, the previous one and the current run, has spent $3.5 billion upgrading that North-South corridor. And at the end, that current tranche of investment will end in 2010, and they're the figures that you go. And the 20% is 26% cheaper. That's cheaper than road freight. There's not an argument about price, and we'll talk a little bit more about reliability. We've got to get the train from Melbourne to a terminal in Sydney faster than a truck to another to be unloaded and get to its destination. That's the real issue for us. So they're the figures. But look how low they are after that investment, and you ask why. Well, transport, everybody knows the freight's going to double, and it's indicating that now. The big sleeper in all that pack is congestion. And you see it here in Melbourne. Currently, everybody talks about petrol prices, but the trouble with the transport network here in Melbourne is congestion is making people catch public transport. And it's happening in every capital throughout Australia currently. Climate change and the community expectation. The community is not going to welcome B-triples going up the Hume Highway. I can tell you that. They're banning them everywhere else in the sea. So we've got it, you know, all around the world, we've got to have to do something about it here in Australia, and rail is one of the solutions. I want to quickly go through, in the time I've got, some of the government challenges, because that's, one is ongoing microeconomic reform. Now, one state to regulate it. Makes sense. But do you realise that Europeans have a European train driver's licence? 25 countries, 23 different languages. We can't do that in Australia. I think it'd be easier if they spoke a different language between the states, because I'd have an easier task sometimes. But, you know, every state has a different crashworthiness test for their locomotives. Every state has a different thickness of glass. You know, madness. The same rail carriage in Western Australia and Brisbane. Exact the same, both narrow gauge. They've got 652 different differences between the two. The identical passenger carriage. We've done that to ourselves. We can't afford to keep doing that. We're regulating ourselves to death. East Coast Trail and Transit Time, Jeff talked about the reliability factor. Reliability means getting there on time when you want to get to the other product there. Woolworths have made it quite clear they'll put all their freight on rail when we get our reliability up to about 95%. Above 95%, we're 80% currently there now. And the availability for slots, more trains on the track. Price, we've got to stop subsidising the B-doubles by the smaller transport users. We've got to really be competitive about that, and capacity. Real issue for us, and I can tell you now, Victoria can have a wonderful freight plan. They do. I give credit to the government here and Terry and the work they've done here, but you've got to get it to the other end. Okay? You can have a brilliant transport network. You get it across the state border, but if you can't get it to a terminal in Sydney or get it to the port, it's useless. And the real challenge is that we're having freight trains on the passenger network in Sydney, and you read Melbourne papers and you think, you know, you've got a problem here with Metro, it's even worse in Sydney. Okay? And we've got a capacity passenger network competing with freight. So what we're trying to do about it? Well, we've just had approval to build the Southern Sydney Freight Line, but the challenge is that took 4.5 years after the money was allocated by the federal government to get it approved. 4.5 years to get approval. Why? Because every council wanted to say, not in my backyard. Environmental impact statements. Come on, guys. We've got to do something better than this. We can't afford. So, next one, Strathfield North, a dedicated freight corridor. The first tranche has been approved and it's sitting in the federal budget. We're waiting, really, if you work in New South Wales and have to focus, it's really, we've got to get this quickly through. The rest of it, you heard some talk about in the Fin Review, is another $3.5 billion to take a dedicated freight line right the way through from southern Sydney all the way through to Newcastle. And it's vital because no matter what you do in Victoria, unless you've got the linkages right up the east coast, you're not going to get freight off the road. The reason I show that is that here's somebody who's got planning, urban planning and transport together. We don't even have them in the same departments in Australia. We keep them totally separate, and we wonder why we've got some of the messes. And we're going to have to get transport planning and planning together if we're going to go forward. The next big issue, the locomotive fleet, the incentive to invest. The current age of the locomotive fleet in Australia is 34.8 years. That's the current age of the locomotive fleet. Average age in the US is 8 years. There's no incentive to invest in locomotives unless we start looking at such things as accelerated depreciation, tax credits. We won't change that. The average age of the grain fleet locomotives is older than anybody in this room. Okay? That's the grain fleet. And quite an issue. I could talk to hours about things. And regional rail? This is not funny. This is in the current one of the grain networks in New South Wales, this photo. Okay? Now, if we have a grain crop, and there has been no grain crop on the east coast to talk about at all, if we had a grain crop, there is not enough trucks or rail to take it to port, no matter what we do. So while we're trying to focus on the capital market, there is a whole series of other things going on there. So regional rail in Australia is a cot case. I just want to leave you one thing when you think about it, when you're next on the Hume Highway, and every time you see a train, just remember this. The rail is 19 times safer than any other form of land transport, 19 times safer. One train will take 150 trucks off the road, save 44 tonnes of greenhouse gases and 45,000 litres of fuel. So when you're driving, just look at that and think about it. Thank you.